find out, how can we make this better? What changes can we make? Granted, we all know they went out and they tried to make some new changes as far as nutrition and things like that for last year, but you've got to get more in-depth with it and figure out what the problem is and get it taken care of.
James Big Cat Williams, you guys were a great listen all year on the post-game show with you and Hub and Olin Krutz. So thank you for your time with us on Bears Mondays, and we'll talk to you, I'm sure, sometime throughout the offseason. Thank you, Cat.
Thanks, guys. It's been fun. Have a happy new year.
You happy too. New year to James Big Cat Williams on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. The segment brought to you by the Illinois Media School.
The injury thing is just crazy, because if you ask anybody in any sport, the ability to prevent it just a little bit better, everybody's looking for that next thing. In baseball, they're going crazy looking for that next way to protect arms. And in the NFL, how do you do it? I guess go find the teams that do it well and see how they do it. I keep thinking about the Patriots, and then I get to Tom Brady's quack of a doctor, and I start wondering if one thing leads to another.
We'll talk to Lawrence Holmes and Dan Bernstein in an hour, 312-644-6767. We got a wide open hour for your calls. Ryan Pace, in 3 hours, you'll hear him on the score, his press conference of the Bears firing of John Fox. No commercial. We're back right after this on the score.
Coach John Fox has been fired. We've got all the details of this move by the Bears right here. Plus, we'll talk about who Fox's replacement might be on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
Keep grinding. 10 lost seasons is not acceptable to us, and our record definitely isn't where we want it to be or need it to be for that matter, but we're confident the combination of the foundation we've built and the resources we have going forward will translate to soon on-field success. We talk about the growth process with a young quarterback, and you know our coaches have done a great job allowing Mitch to grow really in increments rather than overloading him early. And you know, we've seen a lot of growth from him over the past 11 games, and that's a credit to him and how much work he's put in since we drafted him and where he's at today.
Ryan Pace before the game yesterday. It is a special New Year's Day edition of the Spiegel and Parkin Show. You weren't going to have us not working the day that John Fox gets fired. The upcoming hour brought to you by the Illinois Media School. This segment brought to you by Ford. Tune in every Bears Monday to Build Ford Tough Bears Monday. Brought to you by your local Ford stores.
Let me make you Ryan Pace for a minute, okay?
Okay.
You in this, although my favorite Ryan Pace in the building is Nick Shepkowski when he's rapping Ryan Pace.
Christmas at Hallis.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Just get off the Yule log, okay?
Just get off it. All right, so you're Ryan Pace. You have a tremendous amount of salary cap flexibility. There is a fairly large crop of unrestricted free agent wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
What are the profiles that you want to get out of your wide receivers? Do you imagine yourself, Ryan, signing two free agent wide receivers, or do you take the return of Cameron Meredith and add that to Kendall Wright? But that's a free agent too. So, I mean, Kendall Wright and Dontrell Inman are both unrestricted free agents, by the way. So I think you're going to have to sign two free agent wide receivers.
Absolutely. And you want them to be complementary in the best way that you can. Like Jarvis Landry.
Exactly. What are the profiles of your two free agent wide receivers?
Jarvis Landry is a slot receiver who doesn't take the top off the defense. So like if you drafted Jarvis Landry, that's great. A possession receiver for Mitch Trubisky, who his accuracy could get him yards after the catch. He would be a third down target and all that. That'd be great.
Toughness too.
Yeah. But then you've got to find a speedster. You got to find a guy like that, what Marcus Wheaton was supposed to be, whether that's in the draft or free agency, like a Paul Richardson. Like, you got to find a guy who's going to line up outside the numbers and can run those nine routes, can run the fly patterns to command some safety help over the top so that you could put him and Landry on the same side of the field and have one of them take the safety and the other one get one-on-one coverage. Like, you need to have guys be complementary to each other. And I would want someone to be an outside the numbers receiver, because as much as I like Jarvis Landry,
you need at least one.
And I've called him the most underrated player in football before. Like, I really like Jarvis Landry. I think touchdowns can be random. I think Tannehill is not good, and he never had a lot of help in the passing game in Miami. So I'd love to see Jarvis Landry with a big armed quarterback.
Mm-hmm. How about Guagi? How about a big body red zone, go up and get it, kind of threat.
Yeah.
You want one of those guys?
I mean, I think every team wants one of those guys. There aren't that many of them available. Like, to me, it's the top of the draft doesn't strike me. And I watch a ton of college football, but I'm not a scout. Doesn't strike me that there's a receiver that is going to be there for the Bears at 8 that is an instant impact, no doubt about it, guy. Like, you look at, like, Corey Davis for the Titans last year. Very solid, very incredible athlete. Had some injury problems, wasn't able to produce right away from Marcus Mariota.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the top guys this year, Deion Kane on Clemson, Calvin Ridley on Alabama. I got to see what they do at the combine, because Jalen Hurts and Kelly Bryant have had very inconsistent years at the quarterback, so they did not put up monster numbers. So to me, draft a receiver in the second or the third round if you need to. Like, find like a mid-round draft pick to complement it. I've told you I like the Steve Ishmael kid that I've seen.
Yes.
Out of Syracuse, who broke Marvin Harrison's records. But mm-hmm. again, we've got a lot of time for draft prospects. That's just one guy that I've watched that I like, who's a mid-round guy. But the
free agents, we know a lot better, and our listeners know a lot better, and there's actually an interesting list. It's a very interesting list.
And it would strike me as foolish to make your biggest wide receiver acquisition a rookie when you know that you need to overhaul the entire position group, and Trubisky needs pass catching help in year two more than he needs help at any other position on the field. So I will be very surprised if the Bears do not set the market for a receiver, mm-hmm. whoever it is, whether it ends up being Paul Richardson, whether it ends up being Devontae Adams is gone, I don't think it'll be Terrell Pryor, but Jarvis Landry.
Here's some names.
Yeah.
Paul Richardson, Sammy Watkins.
I'd take a flyer on him. He's going to be cheap.
You think so? At age 24, remember, he signed a deal early that paid him, he's making $4.9 million this year.
All right, I should walk that back. He's going to be cheaper than his talent dictates, because in terms of sheer talent, he is probably not top 10, but close in terms of, like, athletic gifts for a wide receiver. You want to talk about go up and get it, hands, physical dominant, like, physical receiver. He's a really talented player. He just keeps getting hurt. He's got these foot injuries that keep cropping up.
So that doesn't sound exciting.
Right.
It's
a scary thing. I think he had a knee and multiple foot injuries mm-hmm. since he's been into the NFL.
Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson is at 6'3", 220, from Jacksonville, is indeed that big body. He was hurt for a lot of this year, and is hurt now. But, I mean, that's a very interesting one. Dante Moncrief coming out of, Indianapolis. How do you feel about Dante Moncrief?
From my impression, just a guy. Speed, mm-hmm. right? So he would qualify to have some over-the-top ability, but I haven't seen... They've had quarterback problems, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I have a scout's understanding of Dante Moncrief.
How about Albert Wilson of the Chiefs? He had more than 100 yards yesterday, and that's a guy who hasn't gotten a ton of opportunities because they've got other weapons.
Tough as hell. I know him from covering him. Tough as hell.
25 years old, making $1.8 million this year.
He's in a great situation. Not much of an outside the numbers guy, but think about it. He had Kelsey, he had Tyreek Hill.
That's what I'm saying.
He had Kareem Hunt.
And yesterday, when all those guys did not play and he's playing with Mahomes, he had 100 yards.
Yeah, he's a good player. And he's, kind of got a rags to riches story, like, not that highly touted at any level. And, like, he's a good player. He's a good player, but he's not a number one or a number two.
Jerron Brown of the Cardinals is going to be available.
A lot of speed.
That's a take a top off the defense
yep.
guy right there.
A lot of speed.
Mike Wallace is a better wide receiver overall than I thought he'd be at this point. Like, he was pure speed, and I thought that was the only, trick in the bag.
No, he's really good.
He's really good. He's 31 though.
Right. He's one of those guys, like, when you play fantasy football that you get bored with, and he always gets underdrafted because uh-huh. he's just steady and productive. He's like Frank Gore for a lot. Like, he's just like, oh man, there's Mike Wallace with his 50 something catches and his 800 something yards. You know what I mean? Like,
Frank Gore is the sixth all time rusher in NFL history.
Yeah. Mike Wall, you want to talk about a professional wide receiver?
Yeah.
Mike Wallace is a professional wide receiver. And if you signed him on a couple-year deal, I'd have no problem with that.
I did not think that's where it was going to be. When he went to Miami after being in Pittsburgh and it flamed out kind of ugly in Miami.
And he's got some of that. DeSean Jackson's one of the best deep wide receivers that.
What a disappointing signing, though, that was. Sometimes these guys, it can just blow up on you.
Well, when you rely on speed and you lose a step, then all of a sudden you're just a guy.
Yeah, 31-year-old Mike Wallace scares me a little bit.
But he wouldn't cost very much. Like, you could draft a receiver in the third round, sign Mike Wallace, and sign another guy or two, you know, plus Cam Meredith. And maybe Kendall Wright or Dontrell Inman, and call it an overhaul.
What if Dez Bryant becomes available?
That's your go up and get it guy.
You, damn right it is. And somebody might overpay him. But if Dez Bryant can't find a market and he ends up wanting to sign like a 1 year prove it deal or something like that, a lot of people say that he's not getting separation anymore, that he's lost the speed.
Three straight below average years for Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
Like he has lost the separation speed, and he had a lot of drops. He's the most targeted receiver in the NFL this year. Or no, that's inaccurate. He's top 10 in targets in the NFL this year, but he's not like top 20 in any offensive statistical category.
Mm-hmm. Who
in
Chicago would you hire as Dez Bryant's chaperone when he gets here?
That would be a problem too.
Jack Haley. I don't care how old Jack Haley is. He was good at it with Rodman. He'll be good at it with Dez.
People are talking about Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon's not available.
No, he's not available. They still have him.
Yeah, they have him for another year, and they'd be crazy to get rid of Josh Gordon. Now, I mean, if they trade him for some sort of like big time asset, then maybe John Dorsey will do that. But
a couple other names here that interest me: Taylor Gabriel is blindingly fast out of Atlanta.
Yeah, seemed to hurt his hamstring yesterday.
Mm-hmm. 26
fun
years old,
special teams player,
fun special teams, a little gadgety and short.
Right. I wonder if he would have a lot of redundancy with Tariq Cohen.
It's possible,
because he also, I mean, talk about a perfect situation. He plays in a dome with Mohamed Sanu
and Julio
Jones and two good running backs and Matt Ryan. Like, Taylor Gabriel, I don't know, him on his own, I don't know if that does much for me.
And
I like Paul Richardson, though.
I like Paul Richardson a lot. Paul Richardson has been in Seattle and producing some for that offense, although that offense, whew, man, have gone through some rough stuff. Has anybody on this Bears team proven themselves to you to the point to say, all right, I might keep him. Want to keep Dontrell Inman at a very, very low rate? Want to keep Kendall Wright at a low rate? Not sure. If you sign Jarvis Landry.
Oh, yeah, not if you sign Landry, but sure. Either one of those guys. Three new wide receivers. One expensive in his prime free agent who you are paying top dollar for. One other, like, veteran type that wasn't here this year. Mm. And one draft pick. Have them complement each other. Add in Cam Meredith. Add in the flyer of Kevin White. Add in, if you want to bring back Inman or Wright or whatever, you're going to have, what, seven wide receivers on the squad, give or take?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, have one of them be a rookie. Have two of them be free agent signings. Have one of those two free agent signings be expensive. And then you can mix and match some of your veteran pieces.
I'm looking forward to two free agent wide receiver signings and having them fit conceptually in what you want your weapon arsenal to be as Ryan Pace continues to build the Saints. Jack Haley died. I forgot Jack Haley died at the age of 51.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy New Year to the Haley family, and my apologies for
the first. I mean, we should do a scoreboard for the show for the year. That's the first time we've referenced someone and said, like, let's get him.
Dead.
And he's dead.
Yes.
It'll happen again.
We'll crass him off then.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But it'll be fun to watch a wide receiver overhaul for Mitch Trubisky, because it'll have to happen. That's not the best wide receiver crop. Like, there's some interesting names. There's not a lot of great names on that.
Jarvis Landry, it will be the most sought after as a slot possession weapon.
And I really wanted Devontae Adams, but so did the Packers. Mm-hmm. So they re-signed him.
Preference? You put Sammy Watkins pretty high on the list, though, right? The injuries, man. When you're the team that's had 35 guys on IR, a team that needs to sit down and meet as a collective and discuss why you can't keep people healthy.
I get it. But
it's terrifying.
That one's about, that to me is about how risk averse you are. Like, let's put it this way. The two most talented guys on that list are Sammy Watkins and Jarvis Landry. And I'm not sure it's particularly close.
Allen Robinson?
Sammy Watkins is more talented than him. He's more talented than he is. He was an awesome college player. He's been productive with very little quarterback talent when he's played. Still, like you said, 24 years old. But there's a bust factor there because his talent probably gets him a multi-year deal, and he's got multiple injuries. I don't have it in front of me right now, so I don't know exactly what his injuries were, but I remember multiple. There was a knee and a foot, and I don't remember what else there's been. But there's been multiple NFL injuries for Sammy Watkins.
Just to mention a couple of the other names on this list in case they come up, Danny Amendola at age 32.
No.
Eric Decker at age 30. Professional wide receiver.
Surprised he wasn't more productive this year.
Me too.
But like Mariota, right? He's Tennessee still. Like he's just absent so many times. Like he should have been better, but everything about Tennessee's offense should have been better. Outside of Dwayne Walker.
Jordan Matthews is only 25 years old. But you know,
yeah, he's
just
fine.
Just a guy. DeAnthony Thomas got hurt yesterday
but injury prone, commitment to the game questions. He's 5'6". Like that's Tariq Cohen. That is not a solution to your problems.
Terrell Pryor, as we mentioned,
that's high upside. Take a flyer on him, guy. Mm-hmm. That hopefully would not be very expensive.
Yeah. And you know,
that's the list.
John Brown and Jerron Brown, both of them from Arizona, are a little bit interesting. So we'll keep tabs and we'll see what happens. Ryan Pace press conference coming up today at 4:00.
Central Florida, by the way, is on top of Auburn 10-6 with 38 seconds left in the first half with the ball. I am rooting against the SEC today. The SEC bias to me is out of control. The SEC was not good this year. Clemson is now a 3.5-point underdog. The disrespect is just absurd. It keeps getting bet up for Alabama. I don't understand. Clemson is going to win this game by double digits. They are the more talented team. They are better. I think they have the better quarterback. I think Saban is obviously the best coach, but Venables, the defensive coordinator for Clemson, with as much time to prepare, is equally as dangerous. Clemson will put their entire defensive line into the NFL. They'll put a left tackle into the NFL. They'll put a receiver into the NFL. They'll put a running back or two into the NFL, just not this year because they're both still underclassmen. Like, the talent gap is not nearly as wide as people are suggesting it to be. So I cannot wait for these games.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine why people would think the talent gap is that wide. Look at the
four seed is favored by 3.5 points.
Look at the games these two teams have played. Combined score of the last two games is Alabama 76, Clemson 75 of the last two games.
Yeah.
I am struck by the uniqueness of this. Pat Forty over at Yahoo wrote a really interesting piece because this is two teams meeting in three consecutive postseasons with national championship implications.
Yeah.
It has never happened before in college football. Never. There was a USC-Ohio State Rose Bowl trilogy between 72 and 74, but only one of those outcomes was for a national title. There have been a couple two-parters, Notre Dame-Texas at one point, Oklahoma-Florida State, 80-81, Notre Dame-Colorado in 89 and 90. I remember those well. Alabama and Florida in the SEC title games in 2008, 2009, which were basically BCS semifinals. You can't even find a parallel, as he wrote, in men's college basketball. It feels a little bit like UNLV and Duke from the early 90s, but they only met 2 years in a row, not three. This is the rubber match between these two organizations.
And when Clemson wins, they will have to be regarded as the best college football program in the country. In the last 5 years, Alabama has one more win. It's 63 wins versus 62 wins. Both teams have won one national title. Both teams have appeared in two national championship games, this being the third.
Yeah.
So their resume the last 5 years are identical.
It's amazing.
And when they win today, that'll be 2 of 3 head-to-head. And if you look at their recruiting for next year and the amount of talent that they are bringing back, they're the best program in the country.
Okay.
And they will win.
Right now, your head is so far out over your skis here on this that you're either going to barrel down the mountain at record pace.
Yeah, that's right.
Or fall completely flat and break several bones in your face.
Has anyone ever taken a sick day the second day back of the new year because they didn't want to eat the crow that was being served to them? No, I'm honestly not worried about it. Like, I am not concerned. This Bama team
that's you.
Stinks.
That's you. That's so you. This comes from the guy who says, I will bet any amount of money that I am the best Ms. Pac-Man player in this bar.
In fairness, I have never seen you play Ms. Pac-Man. I have seen Clemson play every game this year and Bama play most of their game. Bo Scarborough is good. Minka Fitzpatrick is good. The rest of this team, very mediocre.
That's right. You have a better scouting report on Alabama than you did of me as a Miss Pac-Man
No question.
Player.
And frankly, you are better at Miss Pac-Man than this Alabama team is at football.
Man, I just want to hold on to that compliment. Yeah. Just put that in my pocket and hold on to that and feel good all day.
I got Clemson. What score will I give them? They're winning by double digits. They're winning by double digits, and they're going to score 30-plus. I don't know how many points Bama will score on them.
They're going to score 30-plus on that Bama defense.
For the third year in a row.
Third year in a row. Even, you know, they don't have, you know, Deshaun Watson's not there anymore,
that's
right?
That's true. Kelly Bryant is no Deshaun Watson.
That's true.
But he's a better runner. He's a better runner, and Bama struggles with mobile quarterbacks.
Uh-huh.
And the best game of his year was the second to last game of the season against South Carolina. He played well against Miami. They got some skill position talent coming on. They know how to beat him. They know how to beat Bama. Bama can just beat the straight ahead SEC teams. They can't beat the speed at Clemson.
I wonder who I'm working with tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah, it'll be fun. Back to the Bears coaching search. And we'll give you the list of draft prospects in the games tonight. I got them here for you. We'll give them to you. Come on up on the score.
Breaking Bears news. The Bears will hold a press conference at 4 p.m. today covering the firing of John Fox. Listen in as Ryan Pace announces their new direction. Plus, a full recap post-press conference only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for Bears fans. Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute. Eric Reed was one of the first players to join then-teammate Colin Kaepernick in kneeling during the national anthem a year ago. This year, with Kaepernick blackballed out of the NFL, Reed has continued to protest while others have come and gone. Like Kaepernick last year, Reed will become a free agent this coming March. He knows it's possible that he will find it difficult to get a job once he's on the market. Reed says he's aware of all this and is completely comfortable with what he's done the past 2 years. It seems unlikely that he won't have a job next season, given his performance at safety in San Francisco this fall. But if we start hearing excuses from teams on why Reed doesn't have a contract this spring, it will be hard for anyone to claim this isn't another blackball situation. Stay tuned. I'm John Feinstein.
Still dreaming of earning a college degree or fantasizing about a new career path? Make your dreams a reality with one of Moraine Valley Community College's nearly 150 degree and certificate programs. What's the best part? Moraine Valley's low tuition will save you thousands of dollars on the quality education you want and deserve. Learn more about your affordable options today at morainevalley.edu/register. Moraine Valley Community College, rock solid since 1967.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Score on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you stream us on. We've got Chicago sports fans covered. The Score is Chicago's first and number one sports talk station. We're live from Chicago and dedicated to the Chicago sports fan. It's what's driven us for over 25 years now. But we couldn't have done it without you, the loyal Score listener. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Everyone knows Wingstop brings the flavor, but now we're bringing it literally with Wingstop delivery in Chicagoland, as in straight to your door lemon pepper delivery. And to mark the occasion, we created the Bringing It Boneless Bundle. 25 boneless wings, 3 flavors and 3 dips, all for just $16.99. Now when your crew gets the craving, just go to wingstop.com, pick your spread, and choose delivery at checkout. Only at participating Chicagoland locations. Can't stop. Wingstop.
Did you know 90% of homes are under-insulated? If you can see the joists in your attic, it's time to start insulating. Get to the Home Depot, where you can save on winter heating costs by saving on new insulation. Whether you need fiberglass, cellulose, spray foam, or someone to help you understand the difference between any of them, the Home Depot has the insulation to help you get the energy savings you want. Get insulating by getting into the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Who is 670 The Score? We're Chicago's original sports talk station. Chicago's only all-Chicago sports talk station. Covering all of Chicago's teams. And when breaking Chicago sports news happens, we'll break in with all the details. Guaranteed. Keep streaming The Score to your computer or device for the best sports talk in Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
And listen, everybody's fired, right? It's another double-digit loss season, as we talked about earlier. So you got to have somebody come in that knows what the hell they're doing and knows how to make a young quarterback play better. And you got to put him in a scheme and a system that will fit what he can do. The offseason is huge.
Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Four kids.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Most definitely different than any other game because it's the last game of the season. That's what I would, you know, say it was more so. You know, I know that he's disappointed, just like everybody else around here, in how we've underperformed in some situations. And, you know, I know there's a lot of times there's nobody that I think it weighs on more than Fox. When I leave the building, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, his truck is still there. You know what I mean? He's clocking his hours and doing his best to make us better. And, you know, for him, I wish we had finished better.
Team Hicks on John Fox. Audio brought to you by Exergen. Temporal scanner, thermometer. Ready for a bad cold and flu season? A cold is a cold, but flu brings fever. Be prepared with the Exergen temporal scanner thermometer, backed by medical professionals everywhere. Dan Bernstein and Lawrence Holmes. We'll talk to them in 35 minutes. Ryan Pace at 4 o'clock. You'll listen to it during their show. I have said that what I want to hear from Ryan Pace today is accountability, confidence, competence, a plan, and autonomy. I want to hear him sound like he's in complete control and that it's his decision. I don't need George up there. I don't need Ted up there.
They'd be really, really stupid to do anything like that. They have to know that when Ian Rappaport says last week that Ted Phillips is starting to compile a list, that only creates bad feelings and anger in a fan base and the media. They have to know that.
And so Ryan Pace has to own and wear some of the failures that have happened here, right? You are what your record is. This is a league of accountability. We have three straight last place finishes since I've been here, and that's not good enough. However, I believe we are positioned with our young pieces and our young quarterback, and we have turned over the roster, we have established a culture, and we are prepared for success in the near future.
Man, this has worked out very well for him in terms of having some more security. This is, you know, he waited until year three, and I don't think it was calculated to do that.
Right.
But he waited until year three to get the quarterback. And imagine if the quarterback hadn't played at all. He'd be guaranteed, what, 2 years? Two more years? If he had just had a redshirt year, as perhaps he wanted him to have, just sit there all year long.
Right.
But now, and he might get an extension to link him up with the new head coach, as we have discussed. He's completely aligned with Ted Phillips in what they're building and revamping over there at Halas Hall, well, all the way that they're designing stuff. But it's all on him now. Now that you've removed the shield of John Fox, and you're about to give Mitch Trubisky the coach that you decide is the right one for him, it all points at you right now.
No, it's all on him. He'll own that, by the way. His press conference and interviews after drafting Mitch Trubisky will say and suggest that he will own that. And when you hear a bunch of people talking about grading a press conference, did he win the press conference, what does he need to do in the press conference, like, that's just what I would personally like to see as an observer and what I think would be in his best interest. Know this, it doesn't matter. He just needs to win. He just needs to get it right at coach. He just needs to have gotten it right with Trubisky.
He needs to get it right at a lot of things this offseason.
Yeah.
We've been talking about it all year. It's such a huge offseason. We just did a segment on the free agent signings. The prospective head coaches folder is filling as the interview announcements are coming. He's got a lot to try and get right. And it's not just wide receivers he needs to add in free agency. How about a couple offensive linemen? I mean, what are we doing here? What are we doing here on the right side of that offensive line? Especially, I mean, you know, with Massey, do you want to stay with Robert Massey as your right tackle?
Bob, I mean, he's got a tough decision with Kyle Fuller. You can upgrade the team in plenty of places, right? You can upgrade the team in a lot of ways. Ryan mm-hmm. Pace has a very tough job ahead of him. I would just say that this particular press conference, while one that will be held against him and used against him because he doesn't talk very often, which is by design because he wants to empower the head coach to speak without having the general manager looming over him. Mm-hmm. It's a very Parcells, Belichick, Sean Payton type of thing, which is where what that lineage is. It ultimately won't matter what he says. Like it really won't. He will be criticized for it either way because of the record. And what'll matter is, does he get this coach right in order to make it go better for Mitch Trubisky? That's what's going to matter for him. So it'll be interesting to listen to, I'm sure. But we always talk about on the show actions over words, mm-hmm. right? The words of Ryan Pace only matter so much today. It matters what he does this offseason in order to support his quarterback in this organization.
Got to make the playoffs. That would be really nice to do sometime very soon. I just saw this via Mark Potash from over at the Sun-Times. With the Bills, Rams, Jaguars, and Titans all ending playoff droughts this year, there are now four teams that have not made the postseason since 2011 in the NFL. They are the Browns, the Buccaneers, the Jets, and the Bears. That's where you are. Browns, Bucks, Jets, Bears. Those are your four longest playoff droughts in the NFL. And Bears and Jets are tied with both having gone there in 2010. So you have the third longest playoff drought.
Playoffs?
Yeah, exactly.
That could end, obviously, as soon as next year. Breaking news, right? It's the next chance
Good
that
job.
They have.
Good
Thank
stuff.
You. Yeah. I know, I'm top on of my
it
game
today.
In 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd say it feels like if they're not there in 2 years, that's when he gets fired.
Ryan Pace.
Yeah. Even if they did the, like, I am interested in the idea of giving him an extension for the purposes of hiring the best coaching candidate, but still being willing to hold him accountable sooner than later and eat the money if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is what big boy organizations would do, which is not something that the Bears have been known to do recently.
When did Jack Del Rio sign his four-year extension? February.
Oh, yeah, good point. Good pull.
Four-year extension for Jack Del Rio in February, fired last night, so the Davis family could move on to John Gruden.
There's no salary cap on coaches. There's no salary cap on executives. You could spend whatever you want on it. That's why it's a very frustrating thing if you root for a team that doesn't spend a lot of money on coaches.
Mm-hmm.
The Bulls, prime example. Like the Bulls with their coaching staff and having the worst assistant coaching staff in the NBA. It's like, why? You're one of the five most valuable franchises. You make money hand over fist. Why wouldn't you have a good coaching staff? It makes no sense. The Bears should be willing to fire coaches and GMs early
mm-hmm.
if they need to. And if that means that in order to get Pat Shurmur or whoever Ryan Pace identifies as the top head coach, if that means giving him a 2-year extension, then so be it.
I just, you know, I'm really happy, Danny, that we are free from having to watch them anymore. It's been
a
deeply unpleasant experience to watch them for the most part. We got a month of football now. We got, you know, two college football playoff games tonight and then that championship game. Got big time NFL playoffs that start this weekend. They will keep playing playoff games up until something called the Super Bowl in early February. So
between now and then,
enjoy football on your television without the Bears being part of it.
If Clemson wins today,
you're going.
I go to Atlanta.
What do you mean if Clemson wins today?
When Clemson wins today,
you can't talk smack for a solid 12 minutes and then throw an if out there 10 minutes later. Can't do it.
When they
can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
When they win today, I go to Atlanta, and you and I will be hosting next Monday in different locations. It'll be exciting stuff by way of technology. It's exciting for Clemson, Oklahoma.
That's what you're guessing?
I'm just going to fade the SEC. I think that game is a complete coin flip. I think Georgia will be able to run the ball at will against Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma should be able to pass the ball at will against Georgia, and we'll see how it goes. I think that game is going to be awesome. Very high scoring.
Which of the 11 different ESPN feeds will you be watching tonight, Danny, for the mega cast as you've got Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit doing the Rose Bowl, and then Joe Tessitore and Todd Blackledge doing the Sugar Bowl. The Command Center, there's the regular broadcast, by the way, and then you could also watch the Command Center. That's a split-screen telecast with the main feed and then several others along with stats and drive charts. Will you watch that one?
No.
Coach's Room. I like the Coach's Room. I turn on the Coach's Room every once in a while with Dino Babers. Brett Bielema is in the Coach's Room.
Dino Babers, my guy.
Yeah, right? Larry Fedora, Mitch Trubisky's college coach, is there. Dana Holgerson in the Coach's Room. The data,
it's a fun room.
Yeah, right?
I always love the Coach's Film.
So do I.
But I never watch it for more than a minute or two because I'm like, ah.
You feel like you're missing something on the regular broadcast?
And it doesn't feel, the game doesn't feel as big. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm watching scouting tape on the biggest game of the year. Like, if you did the coach's film for an 11 a.m. Saturday Big Ten game, I'd eat it up.
They're doing an all 22 broadcast also, which is available on ESPN3. So the all 22 broadcast, that's just the wide angle that allows you to see the whole field. That's just watching the tape like that. When you get the coaches thing, I found the rhythm of actually watching a game in that coach's room for a while last year.
Yeah.
I found that rhythm. I started to get real comfortable, and I learned so much. So, yeah, all right, so you're not there, but there's the All-22. There's a SkyCam feed, an entirely SkyCam feed tonight, if you want that.
Is the main broadcasters, so like Tessitore and Herbstreit and those guys, like, are they on the SkyCam feed?
It's a great question. I don't know.
Because if it's that, then I would check that. Like, I just like the production and the big game feel of the main broadcasters for title games and playoff games.
I feel you. This is a cool innovation tonight, by the way. There will be cameras inside the first down markers. First time. So
2018 is off the chain. It is lit.
They have 50 cameras at each of the bowl games tonight. 50 cameras for Rose and Sugar, including locker rooms and all 8 pylons.
Can't pay the players. There's just not enough money generated by these games.
This is all tricky.
We got cameras in the chain
there
gang.
There are 8 pylon cams. Every pylon has a camera in it, and now the first down markers have cameras in them. That is
ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
That is absurd.
I can't even picture, where are the cameras on the first down markers? Not on the ground. I would assume on a higher up on the thing.
Yeah, like a bird's eye view camera.
I don't know.
At the top. I don't know. You didn't do that research?
No, sorry about that.
It's all of your broadcast nuggets have for today.
My bad.
312-644-6767. Let's pick a caller. They all look good to me.
How about Mike in Rockford? Mike, thanks for calling. Happy New Year to you. You're on the Score.
Nice pick, Speed.
Thanks, buddy.
Mike, you there?
How about Ray in Orland Park? Ray, Happy New Year to you. Thanks for calling. You're on the Score.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. You kind of covered one of my 2 points a lot with Big Cat talking about the injuries. I don't know how you can draft, I don't know how you can sign Sammy Watkins, guys, with his foot injuries. You can't sign a guy at this point with massive injury issues because it'll blow up in your face. You have to pick healthy players who don't have rods in their legs and who don't have consistent injury problems. I know it's hard to find, but that's going to be a priority. The IR is overwhelming, and fans are tired of it, and we're sick of seeing good players like Trevathan and Goldman just out every week with injuries. And also, too, let's not forget, I haven't heard this mentioned yet on the Score today, was that John Fox was not really Ryan Pace's pick as a coach. He kind of fell in his lap after he got fired by Denver. And I remember everybody hailing how awesome this coaching staff is, and with this young GM and how they're going to help usher him in the league and all this stuff. And Ryan Pace will get to pick his guy. He'll get to pick his more philosophy instead of having a veteran, you know, Super Bowl caliber coach fall in his lap. So I just want to hear what you guys think about that. And Happy New Year, and thanks for the conversation.
Thanks, Ray.
Yeah, Happy New Year. I think that it's pretty well documented now what happened with Ryan Pace. First-time GM, super young, had his list. Then Ernie Accorsi gets brought in, and ultimately the recommendation is, hey, okay, instead of Dan Quinn or anybody else that was on my list, it makes sense to pair me with an experienced head coach. John Fox becomes available. He gets run out of Denver after the big year with Peyton Manning. And hey, if I can get a guy who's been to two Super Bowls and I've never run an NFL team, pairing me with an old coach when I'm a young GM makes a lot of sense.
This, we've heard this described as not entirely Ryan Pace's choice or not his first choice. I mentioned the piece earlier, but Moon Mullen over at NBC Sports Chicago maps out exactly how it went down, where before Ryan Pace was even hired, Ernie Okorski, George McCaskey, and Ted Phillips met with Dan Quinn. Before Pace was even hired, a full week before that. And then they get Pace, Adam Gase comes in. So they met with Adam Gase, Ryan Pace did, before Fox was available. So then the committee, they had a committee, decided to go with John Fox. So it was bumpy from the beginning. It really was.
Yeah, and it was an arranged marriage.
Yes.
And by the way, there is...
It made sense.
That's
on a lot
thing.
Of levels.
It
made
sure, sense.
Man.
Okay, it's a... What happens in the NFL? The NFL is not a very original sport. There's lots of copycat stuff that goes on, right? You go from an offensive coach to a defensive coach, and then you go from a player's coach to a hard ass coach. Like you go, like if one thing doesn't work, you normally just go diametrically the other way. So the last coach was an old retread defensive coach. It would not surprise me in the least if this next coach is in his late 30s, early 40s,
sure,
and a young, bright offensive mind, who's never done it before.
Here you go.
That's just how the NFL works.
Right, but it's also sensible when you have a young quarterback in this situation.
Right.
You could argue that it's sensible anytime that you have a quarterback.
And so we've seen them linked to Steve Wilkes in Carolina.
Defensive coordinator. Assistant head coach down there, too.
Assistant head coach down there. Long time, super qualified. Four teams have requested him.
Yep.
Also would check the box on the Rooney Rule candidacy.
Has a Bears history, coached here under Lovie Smith, has been with Ron Rivera since Chico left for San Diego.
I don't think that the Bears will hire a defensive coach. I don't want them to hire a defensive coach. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me when Ryan Pace is trying to rebuild the Saints in Chicago, and he's going to get two head coaching hires, and he's not going to make one of them an offensive guy. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Then we know of John DeFilippo.
That's it. So far, those two.
Those are the two.
And that's the quarterback coach for Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. Not the offensive coordinator, but the quarterback coach.
It strikes me teams that are playing this week, they can't interview them until after Wild Card Weekend. Teams that are playing in the divisional round of the playoffs, so Viking, Pat Shermer, Patriots coordinators, etc., teams that have a first round bye, you can interview those coaches this week, and then obviously any coach from a team that is eliminated from the playoffs, you can interview them at any time that their team will grant it if they're under contract. So I would expect sooner than later, Bears reach out and request permission to interview Pat Shermer. Right? Because he's on a bye. And it would not shock me at all if they tried on Josh McDaniels. Let's see. The reports are that he wants control. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. He's a top offensive mind, worked with Brady, even just to pick his brain on what's going on in New England.
Worked with Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Everybody's crediting some of Garoppolo's success, and understandably so. The fact that he had 3 years in meetings and practices with Brady and McDaniels and Belichick, because he does not look like a guy who's only started a few games, does Jimmy Garoppolo. Looks like a guy who's been doing it a long time.
Right, and the Garoppolo-Trubisky comps right now, they're not fair. He's 3 years older than him. That's three times as many, or not, yeah, 3 years older than him, three full seasons, worked under Brady, worked under Belichick, worked under McDaniels, all of those preseason reps, all those film study reps. Like he's much more seasoned than Mitch Trubisky is right now. We'll talk to Lawrence Holmes and Dan Bernstein in 20 minutes. Time for more of your reaction, and maybe we'll predict the college football playoff games. Oh, wait, we've already done it. It's Siegel and Parkins on the Score.
Basically not a good day at the office.
Breaking Bears news. Coach John Fox has been fired. We've got all the details of this move by the Bears right here. Plus, we'll talk about who Fox's replacement might be on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for Bears fans.
Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at RosenHyundai.com.
How you doing?
Everyone knows Wingstop brings the flavor, but now we're bringing it literally with Wingstop delivery in Chicagoland. As in straight-to-your-door lemon pepper delivery. And to mark the occasion, we created the Bringin' It Boneless Bundle. 25 boneless wings, 3 flavors, and 3 dips. All for just $16.99. Now when your crew gets the craving, just go to Wingstop.com, pick your spread, and choose delivery at checkout. Only at participating Chicagoland locations. Can't stop. Wingstop.
Still dreaming of earning a college degree or fantasizing about a new career path? Make your dreams a reality with one of Moraine Valley Community College's nearly 150 degree and certificate programs. What's the best part? Moraine Valley's low tuition will save you thousands of dollars on the quality education you want and deserve. Learn more about your affordable options today at morainevalley.edu/register. Moraine Valley Community College, rock solid since 1967.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
I have a difficult time discerning meaning in anything that we're going to see from here on in. That's going to, other than watching Trubisky try to calibrate his targeting system. Because I don't mind throwing picks. If he's able to learn from these things. If he's able to say, oh, okay, that's not open. Bernstein and Goff. Afternoons 1 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
At 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
This is quarterback development. This is what it looks like. You have guys struggle. You're going to have points where you think the guy's a bust. You're going to have points where you're like, it's just not, the light hasn't come on. And then hopefully it's going to be the third year. It's not going to be next year because presumably you're not going to be in the same scheme or have the same guy around him.
Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Who is 670 The Score? We're Chicago's original sports talk station. Chicago's only all-Chicago sports talk station. Covering all of Chicago's teams. And when breaking Chicago sports news happens, we'll break in with all the details. Guaranteed. Keep streaming The Score to your computer or device for the best sports talk in Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins. Middays on The Score.
In terms of self-preservation for Ryan Pace, I get to hire a coach who gets to fit my vision for the quarterback that I picked without any influence from the coach. He didn't even tell John Fox on draft day that he was picking Mitch Trubisky. Like, John Fox was sitting around like the rest of us, and he was like, oh, huh.
Spiegel and Parkins. 9 a.m. to 1. On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
I mean, listen, everybody's fired, right? It's another double-digit loss season, as we talked about earlier. So you got to have somebody come in that knows what the hell they're doing and knows how to make a young quarterback play better. And you got to put him in a scheme and a system that will fit what he can do. The offseason is huge.
Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Score on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you stream us on. We've got Chicago sports fans covered. The Score is Chicago's first and number one sports talk station. We're live from Chicago and dedicated to the Chicago sports fan. It's what's driven us for over 25 years now. But we couldn't have done it without you, the loyal Score listener. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
I have a difficult time discerning meaning in anything that we're going to see from here on in. Other than watching Trubisky try to calibrate his targeting system. Because I don't mind throwing picks. If he's able to learn from these things. If he's able to say, oh, okay, that's not open. Bernstein and Goff. Afternoons 1 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
At 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
CBS Friday.
Show some respect, man up.
Hawaii Five-0 has TV's hottest. Bromance?
Steve, what do you think?
Therapy worked for us.
Didn't see that coming.
Tune in for the action.
5-0!
Stay for the male bonding.
I can hear you thinking.
What am I thinking?
You're hungry. Other than that, it's pretty echoey in there.
It's a match made in mayhem.
You're a caveman, and God bless you.
That's really nice.
Hawaii Five-0. CBS Friday. Or stream it live or on demand.
670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Well, John Fox, through the years, a great 9-year run, of course, in Carolina with the Panthers, taking them to a Super Bowl appearance. 4 years in Denver. Knew that this was a rebuild situation, Solomon, and so far it's been as advertised, 8-18 so far here in Chicago.
Everywhere he's been, his players play hard for him, and he'll get it turned around.
Swing!
Oh, man. Man. I am so glad to be done with certain things in regards to this coaching staff. One of the things I'm glad to be done with is the endless John Fox defense and the cronyism of all the broadcasters in the business who like John Fox and have known John Fox. That's Solomon Wilcots right there. And, you know, you get a chance to meet with these guys on a Friday. And we heard it this year from Kurt Warner, from other guys. It's just, it got so old that, like, oh, he's a good guy. He'll do a thing. But no, stop.
Hope everybody had a good Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I did, but that's another story. We'll talk about tomorrow when Spiegel and Parkins will be a little bit more normal. But, God, I'm really glad that we're done with that. Hearing broadcasters defend John Fox.
Defending the indefensible?
Yeah, because he's been good to them in interviews through the years.
There was just a criminal targeting call against Central Florida in the Auburn game. This rule, man, is insane on an Auburn touchdown that looks like it might tie the game at 13 pending the extra point. They're talking about bringing that rule to the NFL.
I know, it's scary as a concept because
they think that it works. I don't get it. I don't know if you saw the quote. I don't think you were here that day when we talked about Troy Vincent from the vice president over in the NFL offices, former player, saying that they think that they've seen like signs of positive impact on the targeting rule in college football. I would ask based on what? Like the idea that you want to now put judgment in and it's reviewable and the penalty should be an ejection from the game. That's crazy, man. The deterrent can be your money and all of that. And I don't know if they ejected him or not. It looks like hopefully they didn't. He's still on the field. But it's okay. They reversed the call of targeting off of the instant replay. Good. But just it's way too stiff of a penalty for an instant impact in the game. Like, you want to suspend a guy if you feel like it was malicious after the fact with a neutral party, fine. But kicking guys out of football games for hits that have been legal for 75 years is ridiculous.
It's very, yeah, especially legal hits for sure.
Ridiculous.
Even some of the ones that are illegal. We've talked about this. Even though some of the ones that are illegal are only illegal because of happenstance. Like a Blake Countess that hit on Marquise Goodwin yesterday, and I just popped it up to look at it again. He's going for the chest. It's just that Marquise Goodwin lowers himself just as he has leapt, and he ends up going right into his head with a forearm, and it looks awful, looks filthy. And Jimmy Garoppolo ripped him afterwards, and Marquise Goodwin knocked out of the game, and it was horrific. But he's going for a chest. He's going for like a kill shot in the middle of the chest, which is what he's been taught to do his whole life.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's bang bang plays, and the guy lowers their body, and you can't go for the knees, and then you can't go for the head and neck area, and so right. You try to go in the middle.
Try to go right in the middle, and if somebody crouches for a moment or starts to lower,
and these guys aren't all the same height.
No.
Breaking news. I know, but it's that's patently absurd. This segment is brought to you by Burlington. Hurry into your Burlington store and save on the hottest workout gear like tops and bottoms with mesh and lace-up details, plus sneakers, wireless headphones, too. Burlington style for everyone. What are you giggling at?
Texture says, I'm glad we're done with all the conversation. Hey, guys, did you know that John Fox's dad was a Navy SEAL? Hey, guys, know that? He did give us Gidget the monkey, right? In his final week.
We would have done good things with that if we were not on vacation. When that came, I was a little bummed that nugget. The first interesting thing about John Fox's personal life gets revealed in his last game. What? You had a pet monkey? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You
would have my mom. Yeah. Obviously she was a female monkey.
Obviously. Obviously.
Do you have that whole thing? Do you have that? It was a long time ago already. It feels like forever ago. Gather that for would you? Because I haven't even heard the whole thing entirely because I really tried to actually sort of unplug and have a vacation of sorts.
Good for you.
You know,
how'd it go?
Mixed results.
Mixed results.
Yeah. In terms of being unplugged.
Yeah, that's all you can take.
I watched a whole bunch of bowl games, Danny. I didn't lie to you. I didn't
bowls games
you.
Or bowl games?
Bowl games. College football bowl games, sir.
Sucker.
You thought I lied to you when I told you five non-playoff college football bowl games that I would watch.
Did you?
At least one of those five I watched.
I watched a lot of Northwestern Kentucky.
Oh, my God. That was crazy. I watched a lot of that one, too.
Yeah.
Bananas.
Pat Fitzgerald. Not quite sure what he was doing. Some of those coaching decisions. I was like, wow.
He's been going for it all year on fourth downs.
No, I know, but like,
it's crazy.
Come on.
Yeah.
just one little punt and you're probably going to win. We got the monkeys. Let's go.
Yeah. I think it's about anything. Midget happened to like grapes, you know, so, like it. Without going through her whole diet, we're reaching pretty low here. It was my uncle's pet, Oscar the ocelot. Yeah. She was like a pet. Yeah, she went for walks.
I don't know what monkeys do.
Well, they
I had to ask. Who came up with Gidget? Who named her?
My mom. Yeah. Obviously, she was a female monkey.
Talked to you about quarterback play and turnover margin over the years. Yeah. I haven't had a chance to ask you about Gidget, the woolly monkey.
Oh, yeah, that was a little bit interesting. That's a real story. I actually have pictures to prove that. Yeah, but anyways, they asked me about what my Christmas gift was. That year, we'd gone down to my grandparents. They had a home down in Marathon Key in Florida. And so on the way back up from that, we happened to stop at a pet store. In those days, that was all legal, it was above board. I don't think they're selling too many of those things now. But, she was actually a great pet. And it was, as I look back at it, very unusual, for today's world.
How old were you?
I was probably about 11 or 12. Yeah. We got her as a real small baby, and so she was very, very friendly.
Christmas gift?
Yeah. Well, we were down in Florida for Christmas, so it was.
How long did she?
I think she was around for about 3 years. And my brother had a little mishap, tied her up, and she got wrapped up, and she actually got sunstroke, believe it or not. You'd think a monkey in tropical land would be fine, but it didn't work out so well. Actually, it's probably the most interesting thing, but we can move on.
Ask a football question.
You can ask a football question, Larry. Appreciate you rescuing me. My mom. Yeah. Obviously, she was a female monkey.
His mom wasn't a female monkey. It's just that the monkey was a female, so his mom named her Gidget after the Sally Field character, right? Wasn't that Sally Field?
Yeah. Sorry, I went for the sad trombone and I hit the dramatic music.
Dude.
My bad.
Monkey
died from sunstroke.
Because his brother tied up the monkey outside and he died from sunstroke.
Animal cruelty against John Fox's brother.
Seriously.
Statute of limitations probably up on that one.
Easily the most interesting thing we've ever learned about John Fox.
I love that he called the sunstroke just a little mishap.
Little mishap. We tied the monkey up outside tropically. Who knows? It got to him.
His brother probably felt awful.
Probably.
For years and years, I killed the pet monkey by accident. I tied him up. Her up, excuse me.
Yeah, it's female monkey.
Yeah, my bad.
Speaks, weren't you listening?
I was awestruck. And there was an ocelot named Oscar. It's too bad we never got to know John Fox. Because apparently nice guy.
Everybody didn't let us in. Yeah. Didn't let us get to know him.
He didn't want it. He didn't want to. He wasn't interested in it. But all these players love him. All those freaking broadcasters who have great interviews with him, they love him, etc. Didn't want people to know him.
But it's a perfect example because people say you'd do yourself so many favors if, people got to know you. You'd get the benefit of the doubt, all this stuff. No, you wouldn't. Three straight last place finishes. Doesn't matter. Does not matter that no one got to know him. It would not have mattered if we would have all loved John Fox. Nice, could have been the nicest guy in the world.
Right, no, that's for sure.
Three straight last place finishes, he's got to go.
People were frustrated with Lovie Smith telling you nothing for years and years, and that didn't matter.
Fired him after 10 wins.
Yeah, well, right. And it's also, as long as the guys in that locker room give a crap and listen to you and respond, then that's fine. He's just also, I think he's also a bad head football coach, I think. I think now.
I think the game
has changed.
The game has passed him by in a way where It's such an offensive league.
Yes. That aggression is rewarded.
Yeah.
For the most part.
And it would be fine if the head coach was defensive oriented and even a little conservative for our likings, if he had an empowered offensive coaching staff who could do great things, right? Yep. Like if he would have said, all right, I'm going to coach the defense, but I'm going to find the young up and coming staff or the established guy, whomever it was, to adjust with the times on offense, then mm-hmm. it could have just been separation of offense and defense. And it would have been like so many places in the NFL and it would have been fine. But he had no offensive coaching talent.
Yeah, and maybe would have had that if Adam Gase had stayed. Or if he had gone out and gotten a much better offensive coordinator than Dowell Loggins. I think
that's a tough hire, though. Yeah. That's a tough hire, right? To go get a great offensive mind to come join John Fox in a lame duck year when you don't know who the quarterback's going to be.
It was year two, though, right?
Sure, but... No, well, after, yeah, right, after, so yeah, two, yeah. It ended up, I would have had 2 years.
Yeah,
would
so
have had two
it, years. It wasn't a lame duck year. It was like, but it was, you come work with Jay Cutler.
Come work with Jay Cutler and for John Fox.
Right. Come work with Jay Cutler and for John Fox.
Right. So the coach and the quarterback were attached to it.
Not a super attractive thing.
No.
It's not like,
congratulations to Dowell Loggins on the promotion.
Dude, Jay Cutler, the notorious coach killer, as he has been called for a long, long time.